Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you are listening to this. It is actually good morning here in South Africa because it is almost 9 a.m. and I am recording this. So, I am Hilary. I am Hilary Graf, the host of Nothing and Everything podcast. Like I said, where we talk about literally nothing and everything. And today's topic, I don't know if you would like this topic. It is Formula One. Formula One, F1. If you are a fan, I hope that you will continue listening. If you're not, perhaps I can convert you to a fan, okay? Formula One has grown in the last few years. The calendar for this season is quite long. I think it's the most races that they ever had on a calendar, which is insane. 23 races in 2023. If you don't know what Formula One is, Formula One is no ordinary sport, okay? It isn't your regular Joe. We're going to talk about everything, not everything, but some things that I find quite intriguing about Formula One, which is the first thing would be the new season. Now, the season starts right about now. It's March, and it is starting the first weekend in March, which is actually this weekend. They have the Bahrain Grand Prix, which is in the desert, okay? In the desert, okay? Pre-season testing was actually the weekend before, which was last weekend. And that was actually quite intense, I would say. I did watch a few sessions actually, because a session is over 4 hours, and like keeping it on is really lovely, you know, having it on in the background. But watching it all day, I know that there are people that did it because it's either their job or because they love Formula One. And I really do love Formula One. So I did watch a few sessions here and there, which was actually really informative. They tested a few tires. They called it like C0 to C5 tires. I would assume that the C1 and the C2, and I think maybe the C3 tires, they were like the hard tires. Maybe C3 was like the medium tire, and then you have the C4 and the C5 that were actually quite soft tires. Last weekend, you could actually see how the cars actually performed on the track. In my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, it was preseason testing, okay? It does not necessarily say that it's a true representation of how the cars will perform come this weekend. But it might be a representation, but I think some teams are holding back. I think some of the team principals were also like, yeah, maybe this team is actually withholding a little bit info, you know? They aren't putting in the grind on the track. I can't wait to see how the top teams actually fight on track, but also the midfielders and also the back, as if backfielders, they aren't your back markers. But I have to say, Haas is probably, I think, the most improved team. I want to say Haas is, because Haas has never caught a break. They've never had a break, because I have been watching the 2018 season, and Haas always had a problem. There was always a crash or, I don't know, a hydraulic problem or something that happened. But I think last year in the 2022 season, Haas actually performed really well, and they could actually compete with the midfielders like perhaps Alpine and McLaren, you know? So if you're not into Formula One and you don't know what I'm talking about, there are 10 teams in Formula One, okay? 10 teams, and each team has two drivers, okay? I don't know that much about Formula One, but these are, you know, this is knowledge that I have gained over the last few years. I mean, like last 2-3 years, because I've been really into the seasons recently. So, like I said, 10 teams. You have Scuderia Ferrari, you have Red Bull Racing, you have Mercedes AMG, you have Haas, Williams Racing. I'm at number five now. McLaren, AlphaTauri, which was Toro Rosso. You have Alpine, Aston Martin, and then Alfa Romeo. Oh my goodness, I got it. The other day I was like naming the teams and I couldn't remember one team. I always missed one team. But those are the teams, and each team has two drivers. Now, all of these drivers, the 20 drivers that are on the grid, they compete in the Drivers' Championship, right? The Drivers' World Championship. So there are points to be gained at the end of each race. I think it's the top 10. The top 10 drivers at the end of the race, however they finished, would get points, right? And that would occur throughout the season. At the end of the season, the driver with the most points wins the Drivers' World Championship, and they're like champion of the world, which is actually really amazing. And whilst that is happening, it's also the Constructors' Championship. So this is where the teams would win. So the drivers would get their points after each race. It's only the first 10 that would get points, right? And it also depends on how they finish. And those points would be allocated to their team's name. So the team with the most points at the end of the season wins the Constructors' Championship. Now, when it comes to the Constructors' Championship, the higher you finish, the bigger of a budget you almost have. If you are P1, like Red Bull last year, they won the Constructors' Championship. So Ferrari finished P2 and Mercedes P3. So Mercedes is, because Mercedes was actually the Constructors for 8 consecutive years, which is actually insane, right? Insane, absolutely bonkers. And so they finish like that, but so the higher you finish, the bigger of a budget you have. There are a lot more logistics that actually goes into it. Something happened last year that where people actually went over budget and they were actually penalized, and Ripple was penalized last year for that because they went over budget and they had to pay a fine. They had a 10% reduction in their wind tunnel time. But I was like looking at the preseason testing and Red Bull was actually performing really well. So that was actually really intense last year. The going over budget scandal thing that occurred. I remember Toto Wolff, I think it was like pre-F1 show. Maybe it was in quali, and Toto actually said he was making these accusations, and Christian was like, how can he thinks it's absurd. Don't quote me on this, but he was like, well, that isn't true, right? And how would Toto know? What Toto said is that there are people that are being investigated. Red Bull did go over budget. Okay, Red Bull did go over budget. He knows this. Okay, but remember, all of the teams had to be compliant. They had to give all of the information that the FIA actually wanted because the FIA would were investigating this issue. And Toto was like, "Yeah, no, Red Bull went over budget." And then when Red Bull was asked, when Christian Horner, the team principal and I think CEO now of Red Bull Racing, he said, "Well, he knows that they didn't go over budget, and he can't understand these accusations that are being made against them." And actually, those accusations were not false because they were actually true. They did go over budget, and the FIA did release a statement of how Red Bull would be punished, because when it came out that Red Bull went over budget, this was news. And I think if this occurred in 2016, prior to now, prior to the cost changing and all of that, maybe maybe Red Bull would have been disqualified from both the Constructors' Championship and the Drivers' World Championship. That could have happened, right? But I think with the new rules and regulations of things that actually happened in 2021, you guys. Now, if you're not into Formula One, you don't know what I'm talking about. We'll touch on it. So what occurred in 2021, new rules and regulations were implemented at the start of 2022. A statement once again was also released by the FIA. Statement, actually, they were clarifying that we as the fans and who watch the show, you know, the sport on the TV, you won't hear the radio conversations anymore between the teams and the FIA. They always show that, okay? They were always transparent with that. But after what happened in 2021 of how the race actually ended, I don't think a lot of people had speculations, and it's things that I think Abu Dhabi will still be a topic. It will always be a topic of what occurred. And perhaps it shouldn't have finished that way. And then radio messages were released at the start of 2022, and social media went bonkers. And I can only think that Max Verstappen was at the end, you know, of a lot of hate, you know, and Lewis perhaps as well, and I think Red Bull as well. They were also on the receiving end of a lot of hatred on social media. And so new rules and regulations were implemented, like I said, by the FIA. One of those things was the radio a conversation between the teams and the FIA. So a lot of the things they were actually keeping to themselves now instead of showing it to fans, I would say. But, you know, if the FIA can be consistent in how they dish out penalties and all of that throughout the season, then I'm good with that, you know. If they treat everyone the same, that would be amazing. Because they had to be like, oh no. A lot of people perhaps tuned in after what happened in 2021. We'll have to step up our game, okay? And I think that is what the FIA actually did. I didn't have a problem with the FIA's, you know, decisions and all of that. Also, at the start of 2022, it was also said that there was this term, the human error, that occurred at the end of 2021. Yeah, a human error that Michael Massey, who was the race director then, made, perhaps. But that's also something that you can't, you know, hold against Michael Massey. You know, he made a mistake, perhaps, and we all make mistakes. Perhaps we don't want those, kind of mistakes to be made in something like that, because it was that race in Abu Dhabi. It was a deciding race of who's going to be the driver world champion, you know, like who's going to be the champion here. And, you know, that human error occurred. And it's not something that we can keep a grudge, you know, for. It's something that happened and we all have to move on with our lives. So yeah, it's sad, or perhaps it's not, but we all move on. And yeah, so that happened. So there are a lot of things that can happen in this new season, and I believe there's going to be drama. There's always drama in Formula One. Okay, it's not something that you can see on the track, but it's something that you can see when the team principals are being interviewed, or the drivers are interviewed, or when they are interviewed separately. You can actually see these things. But enough of that, enough of like past drama. Who is new on the grid? Okay, so new to Formula One, the grid means it's just basically who are the 20 drivers, okay, for this season. And the new drivers, the new three drivers on the track is Logan Sargeant, Nyck de Vries, and Oscar Piastri. Now, I think Nyck de Vries isn't a rookie per se because he did race last year in 2022, and he also actually got a point. I think he finished in the top 10 by then, and yeah, so I don't think he's a rookie, but I absolutely think Oscar Piastri and Logan Sargeant are rookies. Now, Oscar Piastri was also part in like a lot of drama last year, things regarding because what was it again? Because I have to remember this. Come on now. So Oscar Piastri is signed to McLaren, right? He is driving alongside his teammate Lando Norris now, right? So you're like, oh wait, Daniel Ricciardo isn't at McLaren anymore? No, Daniel Ricciardo was actually supposed to race this year for 2023, if I have that correct. But because they came to a mutual decision, both Ricciardo and the team, he left McLaren. And now he is a reserve driver for Red Bull Racing. I'll get to that in a moment. So the drama with Oscar Piastri, it was that he was actually going to be racing for Alpine. Okay, so this was the drama, okay? It was released on, I think it was Alpine's social media platform, I think it was Twitter. They actually said that Oscar Piastri will be driving for them next year. And Oscar was like, I think he replied to that, or he actually tweeted, I know, this is not what he said, you know, exactly, but he was like, no, I'm not driving for Alpine. He did not even disclose that he was going to be driving for McLaren. In that tweet, he didn't, okay? He just said that he doesn't remember that he actually signed a contract with Alpine. So this is where the drama started, right? And you guys, lawyers were involved and all of that. And Alpine, at the end of the day, I don't think they had a foot to stand on, because Oscar Piastri did not have any obligation towards Alpine to sign with them. He actually signed with McLaren, okay? He signed with McLaren, and McLaren couldn't actually disclose that, I think, at that point, because there were still, like, you know, legal issues, and he did not breach a contract at all, Oscar. He did not. So he knew that he was going to drive for McLaren, and then Alpine announced that, hey, hi, yeah, he's going to be driving for us. And he said, no, I'm not going to be driving for them. I think in that moment, he knew that he was driving with McLaren. You know, he's going to be driving for McLaren. And yeah, so it came out that Alpine did not have any right to say things like that. No contract was signed between the two of them. That was actually really, really insane. You know, like I say, there's never not drama. Okay, there's always drama in Formula One. So Oscar Piastri is the new rookie along with Logan Sargeant. And then we have Nyck de Vries. So this is actually going to be really, really nice, because I think it was 2019, was it, that new rookies were also on the grid. And I think that included Lando Norris. And now it is 4 years later and three more new faces on the grid. There are a lot of new Formula One driver pairings. So in Red Bull, it's still the same from last season. It is Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez, Checo. At Scuderia Ferrari, it is Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc, the two of them. They raced together last year, and I think was it the year before. So they're good. And then at Mercedes, still the same, Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. They also raced together last year. This is their second year together. And then at McLaren, Lando Norris signed with McLaren in 2019. He's still with them, and he is racing along Oscar Piastri, Okay. And then at Alpha Tauri, it is still Yuki Tsunoda and now Nyck de Vries. At Alpha Tauri, Pierre Gasly raced for them. So he moved to Alpine. So the Alpine lineup is Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly, which is actually really insane because they are both French drivers. And Alpine is a French team. And imagine if they race in France. What an atmosphere that would be. So that's Alpine. Then at Aston Martin, it is still Lance Stroll. However, Sebastian Vettel, the legendary Seb, retired last year. Last season was his last one. And I almost wanted to say Lando Norris. Fernando Alonso, he signed with Aston Martin. And at Williams Racing, it is Alex Albon and Logan Sargeant, the new rookie. And, oh, at Alfa Romeo, still, it is both Joe Granier, and he has a mohawk now and a mustache. The mustache and mohawk is Valtteri Bottas. His helmet actually looks like how his face is, with the mustache and the mohawk, mullet. I don't know what you call that. So yeah, those are like the new pairings, which are actually quite insane. And it's also really insane to see how Formula One has changed. Like I said, I have been watching the 2018 season, and to use that as reference and compare to 2022, it's actually insane to see how the cars have developed over time and how quick they become. They become so much faster each and every time. It's insane. And then I want to get to the Daniel Ricciardo thing. Okay, so Daniel Ricciardo, he raced with McLaren. That was his last team. I think Daniel Ricciardo started out in Red Bull. Then he went to Alpine. It was Renault then, now Alpine. Then he went to McLaren. And now he's at Red Bull again. Now, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I think Danny is a great driver. He's a phenomenal driver. Me watching 2018 season, he was actually driving phenomenal, okay? Like, because the Red Bull cars were actually competing against Ferrari and Mercedes, okay? Because in 2018, the Ferrari drivers were Kimi Raikkonen and then Seb. So the two of them, they did really great, okay? And Red Bull was also competing against Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. But there was a lot of, you know, this is what Drive to Survive does. Okay, Drive to Survive is a series on Netflix. Okay, it's Formula One. It's all about Formula One. It's the behind the scenes. And I think Drive to Survive, they made it quite intriguing because they are the reason as to why I am watching Formula One now. If you can't perform, you're out of Formula One. And I think Danny wasn't performing at McLaren, and Red Bull took him back. He's their reserve driver. However, this is where it gets a little bit hectic, right? For me, this is what's happening in my mind. Okay, Max Verstappen, Red Bull ain't gonna get rid of Max anytime soon. Okay, Max is driving for them so well. He's putting the cars in a position where he can overtake people at unlikely, you know, turns and all of that. They aren't going to let go of Max. Max is a phenomenal driver. He is a two-time world champion right now, a consecutive one, might I add, okay? But when it comes to Sergio Perez, I'm also watching Sergio Perez's progress. Now, Sergio Perez, can I say, dare I say, he is a great driver as well. He is a really, really, really great driver. And I would love for Sergio, for Checo, to step up his game, okay? To be like, hey guys, I want to be a champion as well, okay? I can't necessarily be the helper, and I'm not saying that he is, but he did help Max now and then, you know, throughout the season, so that Max could have won the championship, whether it was in 2021 or 2022. I would love for Checo to be like, nay, 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 nay. I ain't gonna be a passenger. I'm gonna be the driver this year. And I know he's gonna enjoy the season. He's gonna enjoy his season. And I would love for both Max and Checo to be, you know, fighting, you know, be like going for that title, because I know that Checo can do it. Come on now, you know, and he wants to finish second. He finished P3 last season because I don't think Max wanted to help him necessarily, and Charles Leclerc took P2, okay, and Checo P3. If Checo can finish P2 this season, it'll be great. Even better champion, right? So this is what I'm saying, that is probably going through Checo's mind. Maybe he is like, I'm going to step up my game, okay? Because if I don't step up, I'm going to be stepping out. Why am I saying that? Because of Danny Ric, you guys, that are back in the mix. If Checo is not going to be performing, yes, Daniel is their reserve driver, okay? He's their reserve driver. So if someone is sick, if Max is sick, Daniel will be driving his car, right? If Checo is sick or unwell or something happened, they can't drive, he'll be driving for Checo, right? For Checo or Max, whoever needs his help, right? So I think in my mind, maybe Checo should be worried that Danny is back. Danny is back home, you guys. He's back home. He could be taking his place. I don't know, you guys. I don't know. We'll see how it works out throughout this entire season. And also, me saying, come back home. I was watching the preseason testing, and one of the commentators, he said that he finished watching season 5, right? I haven't watched season 4. And I don't know about season 5. Okay, I do want to watch it, but I already know what happened throughout the season. But the thing is with Drive to Survive is that you get to see what happens behind the scenes. When you watch it on TV, the Formula One season throughout the year, you don't get to see those little things behind the scene. You don't get to see the team principals fighting or the drivers fighting, things like that. And so one of the things that this presenter said is that remember Seb finished, so he was at Ferrari before he went to Aston Martin, right? And so this guy is saying that Christian Horner, he told Seb, you know, finish the season and then come back home. Okay, come back home. Like, being like, because remember, Seb actually did drive for Red Bull, and Red Bull was doing phenomenal, and Seb was like, you know, you never know how long this will last, so enjoy it while it still lasts. That's one of the things that Drive to Survive picked up, you know, with them filming them, Christian saying, come back home. You know, before you sign, obviously that implies before you sign with Aston Martin, you know, don't do that. Come back home. Come to Red Bull. And so imagine just like the things that would have happened after, you know, if he signed with Red Bull again, Checo perhaps would have, I don't know where Checo would have ended up. Formula One is really crazy. So I really do hope that Checo steps up his game a lot, and that, you know, Danny still stays in Formula One. Because the thing is with Formula One, what I've learned is that whilst I was watching the preseason testing, they mentioned that when you are a Formula One driver, I think a good example that you can take is Stoffel Vandoorne. Stoffel Vandoorne, he raced, I think his last season was in 2018, right? He was driving for McLaren. He has been out of Formula One. It's 2023 now. Let's say 2022. 4 years he's been out of Formula One. They say that if you're out of Formula One for more than 2 years, your number, the number on your car, you know, like you would associate number 44 with Lewis Hamilton, 77 with Valtteri Bottas, number 3 with Ricardo. I say Ricardo, with Danny, okay? So the fact that Stoffel Vandoorne has been out of Formula One for 4 years now, it's like more than 4 years at this point, his number is back into the pool, you know? So I think one of the new drivers on the grid, whether it is Logan Sargeant, Nyck de Vries, or Oscar Piastri, I think maybe Oscar would actually take that number two now. So it's actually really insane. I find that quite interesting, because I always thought that those numbers, you can't use those numbers anymore, but apparently you can. The cars look amazing. I have to say my favorite out of all of them, and I'm not being biased or anything, but I think my favorite has to be Mercedes. Their car looks phenomenal. It looks great. It looks absolutely amazing. Some of the cars look the same, I have to say, from last season, as if they didn't change anything. Maybe just the shade of color, perhaps. But with a new season, will there be a new champion? Will Lewis Hamilton have his 8th world champion title? Or will Max get his 3rd? Or will there be a new one? Like Charles? Or they actually say Charles. I think, isn't it Charles Leclerc? I don't know. Charles, or will it be Checo? Or who's it gonna be, huh? Because I am actually, I think the first race is what it tells you. It shows you, like, oh no, you have to look out for this team, for this driver. They are gonna be the hunted, okay? We are gonna be the hunters. And yeah, so I think it's going to be a phenomenal season. Like I said, Formula One has grown in the last few years, and I can't wait for Formula One to come to South Africa. Now, there has been talks. There have been in the past. Like in the past, I mean like last year. The Formula One boss was here in South Africa. I think they looked at the track, so this is what is going through my mind. They actually looked at the track because in my mind it makes sense to race at Kyalami, right? The Formula One races that occurred in South Africa, I think it was like 50 years ago, something like that, I don't know. It took place at Kyalami. So if Formula One can come back to South Africa, if South Africa can step up, okay? If we can step up so that Formula One can come back to South Africa like next year. South Africa needs to work. And I mean, like, whoever is sponsoring, if they got sponsors so that they can make it happen, like, we need to make this happen, because I can only think that this will be a really good, another opportunity to put South Africa on the map. And I'm not saying that South Africa isn't on the map. I think we do phenomenal things now and then, but this will be extraordinary, quite extraordinary. So yeah, I'm really excited for this season. And if you're not into Formula One, just watch one race, okay? Like somewhere throughout the year, There's going to be a race. And also, don't just watch the race. You have to watch quali as well, okay? Quali is the... It determines who's going to be where on the grid. Qualifying has three sections. So in Q1, all of the drivers, they go on the track. They have 18 minutes to give their fastest laps, right? The bottom five, at the end of those 18 minutes, they fall away. And that is where they will start on the grid, right? If that person finished 16th, they are 16th on the grid come Sunday. Then the other 15, they move on to Q2, right? They go to Q2 and they have 15 minutes to give their fastest lap. Once again, the bottom five, they are set for where they start on the grid. And then Q3, the top 10 drivers, they give their fastest laps for, I think it's 12 minutes. And then Q3 is where they determine pole position. Pole position, everyone just like goes ballistic about pole position and all that. But yeah, so that is the person who would get P1 first on the grid. And usually it's a good thing to be P1. Sometimes it's good to be P2 because it always comes down to how fast you get to turn one and like who gets the first corner, you know, who's on the racing line, things like that. I am super, super, super excited about this season. And just like that, we are at the end of the first podcast. If you have been listening thus far, thank you very much. You can find the Nothing and Everything podcast on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts for now. But for me, for now, bye-bye.